Chof Ches Tammuz, 11th of July, Rabbi Zev Lef, the structure of the 3 weeks, mourning for the Churban.
Bein HaMetzarim, yearly, hopefully last yearly, Avelis for the Churban. A regular Avelis is inverted order of the Avelis, the Chazal, Rekoveya, and Churban Beis HaMikdash. A regular Avelis, the most intense Avelis is Yom HaMisa, and then goes down a little bit by Shiva. The first 3 days are for crying. After that, you finish off the Shiva, and then till the end of Shloshim, and for a parent, till the end of the year. The Avelis starts most intense, and then winds down. Says that on Tisha B'Av, a person's supposed to feel ki'ilu meiso mutal lefanav, mamish, like somebody just died. That's how you're supposed to feel on Tisha B'Av. That's the case. Why didn't Chazal make an Avelis that fits a regular Avelis? Should start on Tisha B'Av ki'yom avisa, and then there should be a Shiva after Tisha B'Av for the Beis HaMikdash, and then till the end of Shloshim. That's mamish the opposite of what we have. We start with Shivasa B'Tammuz till Rosh Chodesh Av is like Shloshim. And then from Rosh Chodesh Av till Shvuah Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av is like Shiva. And then Erev Tisha B'Av gets a little bit more, and Tisha B'Av itself is Kiyom HaMisa, and then finished. Just the opposite. And then on Shabbos Nachamu, the Sforim says like a Yontif. The opposite. And all of a sudden, the Yom HaMisa goes, and not only do you stop, but you make a Yontif. Why? Why didn't they make it to fit the order of a regular Avelis? So let me offer two possible explanations. First, you have to understand the order of a regular Avelis. Why does it go in the order that it does? Chazal and the Torah wanted a person to be able to get back to a normal life after his life has been shocked by the ptira lo aleinu of a karev, or a parent. So the first day, the Misa itself, the Yom HaKvura, is intense emotion. A person is hit with the emotion like a ton of bricks. And now we want that emotion to dissipate so a person can get back to the routine of life. If he goes back to the routine of life immediately, so it's a bizoyan to the nifter. It's as if nothing happened. So the Avelis is both a covet for the nifter, it's also a chance for the person to ventilate his tzar and get back. It's like a deep sea diver doesn't come up all at once. It takes time, little by little, till he can get back to normal life. So therefore, the first 7 days, Shiva, person sits in the house, and Menachemim come to be Menachem Avel. And little by little, he gets back to his normal life routine. Chazal say, to help this out, there's a special gzeira min hashamayim, shehamesh nishtakach min alev, after 12 months. Doesn't mean, chas v'shalom, that a person's misabel for a parent, and 12 months comes, and the next day doesn't remember who he's misabel for. doesn't say hanesh nishtakach, but hanesh nishtakach min halev, meaning that the intense emotion which rules from the time of the Ptira and on dissipates, and memela, there's a special gzera min hashamayim that the avelis is no longer controlled by emotion, but a person now can control it with his intellect. So it's nishtakach min halev. That's the normal process of avelis. Lani is daiti. Maybe there are much greater people than me who would feel differently. But it appears to me that a regular person is impossible to come on Tisha B'Av and feel kemeso mutal lefanav. Impossible. One of the reasons is why it's impossible, aside from the fact that we have hearts of stone, so to feel anything is a difficult thing. But there's even a stronger reason. The Rambam paskins like Shmuel, Ein bein olam hazeh liyamos ha-mashiach el shibud malchios bilvod. The atmosphere and environment of yamos ha-mashiach will be, the Rambam says, olam kiminhago noeg, regular gashmiistic, natural world, not a supernatural world, except the difference will be whether we are mishubed to the nations of the world or not. We'll have a melech ha-mashiach, we'll rule the world. That's the basic difference. But otherwise, the Rambam says, olam kiminhago noeg. Yet the Rambam, both in Hilchas Tshuva and in Hilchas Malachim, describes yamos ha-mashiach in the following way. It's a world where there'll be no sickness, where there'll be no wars, where there'll be no jealousy and competition, because all of the luxuries of this world will be available like afar ha'aretz. People will live hundreds of years, and if somebody dies at 100, he'll be dying as a young person. And that's how the Rambam describes Yamos HaMashiach. There seems to be a tremendous steer. Here the Rambam says, Olam kiminhago noeg. And here the Rambam describes what appears to me to be a supernatural world. The answer, I think, is very simple. Imagine an institution for the crippled, where the policy of that institution is that no one can enter that institution unless they're in a wheelchair. And if you can walk, you have to get into a wheelchair to be in, as long as you're in the institution, all the doctors, the nurses are wheeling around in wheelchairs. The cleaning help, the kitchen help, everybody's in wheelchairs. You have a child that was born into this institution. His parents had some kind of genetic disease, both of them are crippled. And they had this child in the institution, and he grew up his entire life in this institution. And one day, he's 18 years old, and he wheels outside the institution, and he sees somebody walking on two legs. What's he going to think? This is a miracle. This is not natural. People don't walk on their legs. They wheel around in chairs. It's all he's seen in his experience in life. What's true? No. That's normal. You live in an abnormal world. But you've gotten so used to the abnormal world that you think that that's what's normal. And you think that what's normal is supernatural. That's what we are. We grew up in a world for generations without a Beis HaMikdash. So what's missing? We never experienced what a Beis HaMikdash is. How in the world can we feel we're missing something? Adarab, it looks pretty good. There's pizza shops, there's shuls, there's mispati midrashes, there's kolalim. What are we missing? Torah, there's Torah way. What's missing? It's impossible for us to understand that the world is not the way that it should be. But what should be a world? When the world was created, the natural atmosphere and environment of the world was people lived hundreds of years. That's how they should have lived. There would be no sickness. and no competition and no jealousy. That's the world that was created. It's called Gan Eden. But we've been so out of Gan Eden for generations and generations, and impacted also and compounded by the various korbanos, that we've become used to an abnormal world, to a world that is not normal, subnormal. And we begin to think that's the normal world, that's the way it should be. So when the Rambam describes what a normal world is, we think it's supernatural. But that's Olam Kiminhago knowing. The Rambam didn't say the world's going to be like it is now. He said it's going to be a normal, natural world. But the normal, natural world is Gan Eden. We live in a subnormal world. But we become so used to it, we think this is the normal world. So there's no steering. The Rambam says, Olam Kiminhago, no, it's not going to be a supernatural world. And yet the Rambam describes a world that is, for us, supernatural, because we live in an unnatural world. So how in the world can a person feel on Tisha B'Av k'meso mutal lefanav if we never experienced the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we don't know what it means to be missing a Beis HaMikdash? So unlike a regular avelis, which starts emotionally, hits a person emotionally like a ton of bricks, and then needs to be dissipated for a person to come back to the normal world, the avelis for Tisha B'Av, for the Churban, has to be just the opposite. You have to start in a way that is intellectual, where your mind tells you there's something wrong, and then maybe you can build up to some kind of emotion. So therefore, we start with the beginning of the 3 weeks. You don't take haircuts, according to Minig Ashkenaz at least. You don't have weddings. Don't have extra simcha, likudim, and mecholos. And you begin to think, at least intellectually, something's wrong. The world's not the way it should be. Can't get married, don't go to any chasanas, no music, no haircuts. So you begin to intellectually feel something's missing, something's wrong. Comes Rosh Chodesh Av, ready, no meat, no wine, lefi minig Ashkenaz. And you don't wear freshly washed clothing, and you don't wash clothing, and you don't bathe. Already now, I'm beginning to feel that something's wrong. I may not feel it in my heart, but I feel it in my head. Something's wrong. I realize that life is not normal. It's not going the way it usually does. And then comes Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, where everybody has these halachas, Sfardim, Ashkenazim. And then Erev Tisha B'Av even more. And finally you come to Tisha B'Av, maybe, after 3 weeks. Why 3 weeks? Because 7 days is a complete unit of time. Whenever you want to experience something in a unit of time, it's 7 days. Yom Tovim are 7 days. 7 days Shivas Yemei Amishte for Simcha V'Chasana and Shivas Yemei Avelis. 7 days is a complete unit of time. 3 times 7 is a Chazaka. So we have 3 times 7 to have a Chazaka of a time of something's not normal. And maybe after 3 times 7 you can have a Tisha B'Av where you feel something. Where at least maybe, not just intellectually, but emotionally, you feel k'meso mutal lefanav. Possibly. As far as say that if you can't, I think the Seder Hayom says, if you can't feel like that, at least go through the motions as if you feel like that. That's also something. So that's one reason why the avelis of the 3 weeks is the inverted avelis of a regular avelis. The regular avelis starts with tremendous emotion and dissipates, and the avelis for the Beis HaMikdash has to start with intellect and hopefully build up to some kind of emotion. That's one idea. Second idea, I think, is the following. After all of the tochacha, which was niskayim by the Churbanos, Torah says, V'af gam zos, B'yosom be'eretz oyveihem. Lo ma'ashtim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosom l'hofer brisi itam. Don't think, chas v'shalom, that the reason I'm bringing all these puranias and all this churban and all this tochacha on you is because, chas v'shalom, I hate you. Or I'm disgusted with you. Just the opposite. Lo ma'ashtim v'lo ga'altim l'chalo. I don't want to destroy you. Just the opposite. Many nations have committed spiritual suicide and disappeared from the world and are relegated to the history books. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Romans, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. The Rabban Shem gave them free choice. They chose to do things that basically resulted in their demise as a nation and into the history books. And the same thing could happen to Klal Yisrael. We also could have been on a path of suicide and committed spiritual suicide and been relegated to the history books. But the Rabban Shem won't allow that. We have a tafkid, we have a mission in this world, and we're going to fulfill that mission one way or the other. The Rabban Shem won't let us commit spiritual suicide. So he gives us leeway up to a point. And then he sends us Nevi'im to warn us. And if that doesn't help, he sends Puranios. And if that doesn't help, he sends other Yisurim. Until there's no other Eitzah, and the only Eitzah is destroy the Beis HaMikdash and send us into Golas, because that will start a process of rebirth or destroy us. And that's what Chazal said. Shofach, Hamoso, Aleitzim, Vavonim. The Rabban had a choice to put his wrath on stone and wood and destroy the Beis HaMikdash or destroy us. Doesn't mean Chas v'Shalom. The Rabban had to get rid of his anger and he had something to do with it. What it means is that if there wasn't an option to shock us into coming back on a path that may take 2,000 years to come back, but at least it put us back on a path where it's possible that we don't have to resign from this world. Better that the Rabban Shem should shock us with the Churban, with Golus, than he would have to destroy us, because if there's no other Eitzah, that's what we chose to do. Give me an example, which it's easy to give to men. When I speak to women, this marshal is very, very difficult for them to hear. Men's easier. Imagine if you have a five-year-old boy who is a super brat. He's super strong, and he's also very, very mischievous, to put it mildly. And his greatest enjoyment is running into the street, onto the oncoming cars and playing chicken with the cars, making faces at them and just running out of the way just at the last minute before the car hits him. That's his best enjoyment. And he does this all the time. And his mother obviously is very, very concerned that this is a very dangerous game to play. So she tries to convince the child to stop this behavior. So maybe she tried some modern educational methods. They sat down and discussed what they think about getting hit about cars or whatever, which obviously didn't help. And then she took more some conventional methods of discipline, and she began to yell at the child every time he did it. That didn't help. And then she made him sit in the corner for a while and lock him in his room for a while if he did it, and that didn't help. And then she maybe he gave him a patch once in a while when he attempted to run into the street, and that didn't help. And the mother is at her wit's end. One day she's walking with the child on the side of the highway, and a 16-wheeler truck is coming down 100 miles an hour, and she feels the child pulling away from her. And she can't control him because he's strong. Stronger than she is. And she knows that if he pulls away and he runs in front of this truck, that's it. There's no way in the world he's going to get away without being hit by the truck. And if he's hit by the truck, that's the end of her child. And this is black and white. Don't tell me there are other options. There aren't. I know, I made up the mushroom. I can make up the mushroom any way I want. There are two possibilities. One is that she will not be able to restrain the child, and he'll run into the street and get hit by the truck, and that's it. That's one possibility. There's another possibility. In her other hand, she has an iron pole. She can break the child's legs, and he won't run into the street, and he won't be hit by the truck. But he'll have two broken legs. It'll take 6 months to heal him. He's going to be in terrible pain, but he'll be alive. Now, if you were the mother and you loved your child, what would you do? Break his legs. Okay. Again, women argue with me, no, there's other possibility. Well, there's no other possibility. I made up the Marshall. There is no other possibility. If that's the only possibility, what would you do if you loved that child? Break his legs. That's what the Rabban Shem did to us. The Rabban Shem tried everything to stop us, to avert us from going into a mode of suicide, spiritual suicide. He sent us Nevi'im, and they spoke to us, and they warned us, and he sent us Yisurim, and he sent us Puranias, and nothing helped. And he had one option. Either break our legs, destroy the Beis HaMikdash, send us into Golus, but that'll start a process that we'll be able to be on a road of coming back, or ignore it, let us commit spiritual suicide, and that's the end. Out of love for us, the Rabban Shem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and sent us into Golus. Because lo yitosh Hashem amov nachloso lo yazov. And that's what it says in the end of Eicha. After all of the Avelis and the Kinos, we say, ki im ma'os ma'ashtonu. If you really are disgusted with us, Rabban Shem Olam, and that's why you brought all these Churbanos, then you got too angry with us. Why didn't you just get rid of us? Why didn't you bother with us for 2,000 years? If you really are disgusted with us, you got too angry. Why bother with us for 2,000 years if you hate us? Get rid of us right away. Obviously you didn't get rid of us right away. And you've been metapel with us for 2,000 years in Golus. Because you love us. And because the other option would have been much, much greater to let us commit spiritual suicide. Just like every Yontif is not a commemoration of what happened. We don't commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't commemorate on Shavuos Matan Torah. We relive it. Every Yontif is reliving what happened. It's new. Every Pesach is Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a Shibud Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim by the Seder, Maschilin Bignus, and Masayimid Mishevach, and we relive Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos, we relive Matan Torah. Every Shavuos, a new Matan Torah. The same thing goes with Bein HaMetzorim and Tisha B'Av. We are not commemorating the Churban. We're reliving it. So every year we go through that same process. We start with Asara B'Teves. The Rabban Shel Olam sends us again the Bavloim to make a siege around Yerushalayim. That's how a person has to feel. He's hemmed in by the Goyim around, and it's dangerous. Now, if he gets the message, then we wouldn't have to come to a Shivasa Batamas. If we got the message and we did tshuva, so that would be enough. That's the mother yelling at the child or whatever. No, didn't help to yell. So we came to Shivasa Batamas. We had a fast then. We relive the fact that the walls of the city are breached and there's the Goyim already in. And we're already in danger. If we took that to heart and we had done tshuva and Shivasa Batamas as a nation, then we wouldn't have to come to Rosh Chodesh Av. Obviously we didn't. Maybe we did. Maybe it's another day or two. But if we didn't, then we're going to have to come to Rosh Chodesh Av and relive again the tsar of what was part of the Churban, that started on Rosh Chodesh Av and increased to Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av and Shvi B'Av. If we get the message, you won't have to come to Erev Tisha B'Av. If we get the message from Erev Tisha B'Av, we won't have to come to Tisha B'Av. And if we don't get the message, like for 2,000 years, we haven't gotten the message, because Kol Dor, Shelo Nivne HaMikdosh B'Yomav Keilu Nechro, because the Rabbono Shel Olam will write the situation when the reason for it goes away. As soon as we don't need that situation anymore, so it will cease to exist. But for the 2,000 years, the situation hasn't changed enough to bring and take us out of Golus and to build the Beis HaMikdash. But every year we go through the same process. We start with Asara B'Teves, we increase on Shivasa B'Tamuz. If at any point we get the message, then the Beis HaMikdash will be built. If we get the message before Tisha B'Av, we won't have to worry about Tisha B'Av. This year anyway on Tisha B'Av, we'll be eating and drinking and just on Asiri B'Av is going to be the problem this year. Because of Nidche. And in Yitz Hashem, if we get the message before Tisha B'Av, then not only will we eat and drink on Tisha B'Av, we'll eat and drink on Asiri B'Av too. And that's when these days will be transformed. Miyagom, Mi'evali, and Yagom, to Sasum, V'Simcha, U'Moadim Tovim. Because as soon as the reason why the Rabban Shem had to break our legs goes away, then the Rabban Shem will heal us and make us complete and bring back the Beis HaMikdash. So the Avelis follows that inverted order. It starts with less, builds up, until again there's another Churban. Every year has its own Churban. And Yitz Hashem, we hopefully will be misaken that and repair it, and correct why the Churban was necessary, and be able then not have to have all of this therapeutic avelis, and we'll be able to go to a world like the Rambam describes, rarely Olam Kiminhagon Noed, a world the way it's supposed to be, with no milchomis and no machlos, and no tsaris, and no competition, and no jealousy, but a world that will be the ideal environment, like the Rambam says, for us to learn Torah and observe the Torah and get the greatest Olam Haba that could possibly be.
Oh, my. Amen.